Honey Faith, and you are now tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is CJ Sway, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is Perry, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
Hey, this is Kula Von Seal, also known as Queen Kong, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live. Come get some, baby.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Life That Does Live. This is your boy, Seti J, in the building. I'm my girl, Nace Session, about to check in as well. So, yeah, man, I'm just glad to have you. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's been an interesting day. Interesting month, to say the least, man. A lot of stuff is on my brain, and oh, my God. First off, you know, it's always great to have not talked to you guys in a while. It hasn't been that long ago for the episodes, thankfully. But, you know, it has been, let's see, last episode, about 2 weeks ago. So we've got, you know, we're going to get back into that mix. And like I said, a lot of our shows aren't necessarily going to be on when they come on live, aren't going to be necessarily on dedicated days. Maybe, you know, we'll mix it up. Right now, it seems to be the trend is going to be on Mondays for now. So just stay tuned. We're always posting. We're going to be live on the show. I'll post it on all the social media or whatnot. So check out there. And if you miss the shows, of course, you know there's always ways to check the shows back out on multiple platforms. So there's you always get your fix in. But I can't do the show without my co-host with the Moses. What's up, Nate? What's good?
What's up?
Not much, man. Shoot, it's another week. Another week is on. it's starting, and man, it always feels crazy. We've been doing these shows on Monday, and I was like, a change to now you haven't had enough of the week pass by. You pretty much at the beginning, so you know you're pretty much refreshing starting that new week. So that's very interesting. Right. But nonetheless, you know, what's been going on with you?
Nothing much, you know, working on business stuff, getting that situated.
Mm-hmm. I may get them. Don't worry, I will be getting on the one Friday to tell me to. I have not forgot about you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I will get on to it. Man, I got a lot, man. Some stuff I'm not getting to until Crickets of the Week because there's just a certain current event that's just really bothering me. So I will be going, I'm not even going to talk about it until Crickets of the Week. But I will talk about this, which is, you're going to hear me talk about this a lot. You'll hear me talk about it on this episode. You'll hear me talk about it on next week's episode. And then the following week's episode, we're talking about my trip in New York. I've got some big stuff coming up. I'm hashtag AC in NYC, and that's basically going to be a collection of events, including photo shoots, meet and greets, magazine release parties, all that. So I cannot wait. Shout out to the Super Ugly Movement for helping put that together. And dang it, I wish you could be in New York because it'll be lit.
Right.
So, yeah, so nonetheless, man, it's definitely going to be a must-see event. It's really been tripping about myself. I know one thing I'm getting used to is having hair. Like, now, when I say having hair, not that I've never had hair, but I've been doing something where I've been just letting my hair get thicker and thicker and thicker. And, of course, I've been trimming it, getting trimmed and cleaned up and whatnot along the way. But still, like, having a lot of hair right now, again, is crazy because I've really delved into that hard since, like, high school for, like, a small spill. And then I did it again a few years ago. So, yeah, I decided you know, that was like for Mohawk, but this is the first time where I really let my hair get like really thick. So it's definitely a very interesting journey. And it's definitely fun to get to show people that, wait a minute, oh, wait, he just chooses to cut his hair low. Yep, that's a choice. He's about to be keeping it low, but decided to stunt a little bit, try to stunt y'all a little bit, show y'all the natural curly locks that I had to deal with. So, yeah, so that's just one of the big things I've been dealing with is hair. A lot of projects, man. A lot of projects, including, like, again, magazine release party. Got a lot of stuff coming up from Human Cameras, a lot of drops. I'll tell you one thing, man. This issue that we dropped for this month is a double issue, which we did some kind of photographer showcase. So photographer showcase, basically, we do it just about every year, and that's a whole issue where we pay homage to some of the photographers that have been featured in the magazine before. We let them take over an entire edition of the magazine for a particular issue, and they have creative control on how they want to do it. And it's been pretty great. We had the NYC edition, which that's done by Agent K, who ironically be on the show next Monday, and then we got tonight, my boy Finesse, or Photo Finesse. He actually did the DMV edition of issue 77. So, you know, we just continually grow the brand, and as I've told people multiple times, the brand is bigger than one area. We have just continued to, you know, grow in. It's bigger than just the U.S. I mean, we got support in areas outside the country, all that. So it's definitely a good look to continue to see people support. And of course, Nate Seduction Ray is doing good, as you heard. She still got some stuff under wraps, so you guys stay tuned for her. But definitely. I saw you get the new business cards in.
Hold on, what you
say? I saw you get the new business cards in.
Yes, they have dropped. Of course, Betty did the design, and that's 1,000 business cards that I got printed. I am a sponsor for my homegirl fashion show that she having this June. So, you know, the business cards will be in the gift bag.
Oh, nice, nice. As I said, I've been trying to talk about all the time because, you know, just because we're not famous yet don't mean we're not famous. That's something to really think about. It's food for thought for people. Just because we're not famous don't mean we're not famous.
Right.
People are paying attention to what we're doing every day. And that's why we try not to let up. You know, we try to figure out ways of continuing growing in all of our facets. And it's, I told you all the time, it's bigger than this show. We do so many. That's what makes the show so dope, because all the stuff we do outside is, and so it makes these two powerful entities come together and make some dope shit every week. So. Or every episode, I just think is, y'all know we've been, you know, y'all know I tend to jump around weeks. But yeah, so that is what's up with that. Coming up on the show, we got Seduction 101, and we got Crickets of the Week. And then later on the show, we have our very special guest for tonight's show. Again, big ups to Finesse for coming through. Cannot wait to chop it up with them. And, yeah, man, just really get into what makes them grow. So after this quick, very quick break, and I mean quick, like literally a sneeze down there, I will be back and we'll go ahead and get into Crickets of the Week starting off the show. So we'll be back after this.
This is Perry, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
This is CJ Sway, and you're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Red Shades. And when I'm not writing songs or directing music videos, I'm tuning into my boy, Steady J on Life After Dusk and The Dust Spot.
Yo, what up? This is your boy, Tim Ned, representing Loud Music. You are now rocking with DJ Steady J, Fort Worth, Texas. What up, baby?
Hey, I'm CJ.
I'm Starla.
Hey, I'm Heaven.
I'm Erica. And we are
Mademoiselle.
You're tuned into Life After Dusk Live.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Life After Dusk Live. Your boy, Steady J and Nate Seduction. Man. So where to start for Crickets of the Week? Before we do that, y'all know we can't start Crickets of the Week without hearing the... Thank you. So, tonight's Crickets of the Week is going to focus on something that has really just been on my heart heavy today. And it's just... ridiculous. So, you know, one of the fortunate things of, as far as one of these that helps fund my business, my place of employment, you know, it actually, you know, I actually get to work from home, I get to be able to have the TV on and have stuff in the background or whatnot. So with that being said, you know, I've been watching this Derek Chauvin trial. Now, keep in mind, for those of y'all who want to play a game of geography, this took place, you know, the case is taking place in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is where everything went down at, and with George Floyd, due to the negligence of certain people, Derek Chauvin and his team too. His team, you know, they were enablers, but the main culprit is Derek Chauvin. And we're already having to, you know, every day that you're watching TV or doing Monday through Friday, having to deal with this case, the Derek Chauvin case, and it's just been out of control. Every day, these extras that come on here are just further proving the point that is unacceptable behavior. It's also in the winds of trying to pass a law affectionately known as the George Floyd bill or whatnot. And that is basically to hold police more accountable for their actions. And help dial down on the police brutality is continuing to go on, especially, you know, it's happened to black people. And by the way, you also got, I mean, it's still like this minority is just under attack. You have black people having to deal with it. You have people are being xenophobic when it comes to people from the Middle East saying that all of them are terrorists. It's not a new movement, but I would say it's more focal. It's more focused on the movement now. Asian hate, which the Asian hate thing is, you know, bringing to light of how people are just continually taking out, you know, harming the Asian community, especially ramping up even further since, you know, the coronavirus thing has started. And then, you know, you also got with the Border Patrol of people vilifying people of Hispanic heritage and whatnot. It's just continually left and right, minorities taking hits left and right. So, but to so here we are today. We get on the news that in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, which Brooklyn Center, Minnesota is very much so near Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this particular time, which yet again we're having to have a new hashtag, which is Justice for Dante Wright. And so, what ended up happening to Dante Wright in this case, apparently, and I'm going to, and this is coming by way of the New York Times, on the officer who fatally shot a black man during a traffic stop near Minneapolis mistakenly confused her gun for her taser, police officials said on Monday, quickly releasing video as they tried to ease tensions in the state on edge over the Derek Chauvin trial. In a brief clip of body camera video, officers from the Brooklyn Center Police Department can be seen trying to handcuff the driver. Dante Wright, before he suddenly lurches back into his car, one of the officers whose name has not been released, aims a weapon at Mr. Wright and shouts, "Taser, taser, taser." She fires one round and Mr. Wright groans in pain. In quote, she says, "Holy shit, I just shot him." The officer can be heard shouting. Otherwise, they were shooting him. The fatal shooting on Sunday took place in a region already at the center of a national reckoning over the police officers' use of force against black people. As the investigation into Mr. Wright's death in Brooklyn Center was beginning on Monday, prosecutors in a courtroom less than 10 miles away, completed the questioning of their witnesses in the trial of Mr. Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer charged with murdering George Floyd last May. That brings me to today's Crickets of the Week. So, I just take this, what I just cannot wrap my head around is how it just continually, and this time, this is a younger, 20-year-old black man. I don't know what's going on in the water. I mean, what's going on in the water in Minnesota? But you got to be, you have to just not be there. You obviously are not there. Because the fact that you're going to sit here and tell me that people are getting, that people are still having some kind of nonsense like this done, literally while there's a trial going on because of people doing nonsense and negligence causing people's death, that is ridiculous. If I went over to, it just drives me nuts because let's say a doctor prescribed you the wrong medicine and end up killing you. That doctor would pay the price for that. It's in some cases of just the wrong dose, all of it. But and this is in the midst of trying to help you. We got people who are supposed to be, they're quote unquote enforcing the law. And you mean to tell me that you felt like you need to use excessive force? You gotta learn how to utilize your words, because as a security person, one thing I do a lot of times, I try to stay away from violence as much as possible. I try to use my words to de-escalate a situation as much as possible, because at the end of the day, if that's one more life that's saved and I can de-escalate a person by using violence, then that means that's a sign of me, how I handle things. If some people don't like it, but you know what? It keeps people safe. So let's jump back into the time machine to today. What I just don't understand to me is why the people who are supposed to quote unquote protect and serve are continually screwing over people of color. And as the mayor of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota said himself, out of his own mouth, this man said, what's sad is there's plenty, it's a lot of accountability wrong in the police department, but the only reason why we don't hear about it a lot is because everyone's not getting killed. It's not always resulted in a fatal incident. I don't know what it's going to take, but we have got, we know exactly what it's going to take. We need to put this stuff, we need to put all these different contracts we have to hold these people accountable. And as some states have already done, and some in cities and whatnot, of dialing down the nonsense because of a freaking traffic stop. Because that's really what it is. A lot of times these officers, you know, they feel like they got to enforce the law when it comes to traffic stops, that they want to do anything to do it. And it's just you amping up the wrong stuff for not. And there's plenty of violent people out there that you could be going after, stopping them. I don't get it. Y'all find out this, and I don't want to hear any excuses. Y'all have all these resources to go stop people in traffic stops, but when people are out here kidnapping folks, killing them, raping them, all that, just brutally raping them, all that stuff, y'all can't divert your, because it doesn't quote unquote help make money for the city. Well, killing people doesn't help make money for the city necessarily either. So, oh fucking well. I'm just getting sick of it that every time I turn my head, we got to discuss another person, another black person that has been killed because of police negligence. We cannot afford to be... we cannot afford to be turned around, and then everyone's all this excuse. Well, they should have pressed the gun. They should have got. And then the same thing, how they're treating this protest out there, which a lot of people are peacefully protesting, tear gas and all that, and hitting people. Just trying to get people being tempted to get violent. Where was the? We keep going back and back and back and back to the whole point of. January 6th of this year, a deadly insurrection was literally trying to stop on the a constitutional process, and there was less enforcement being done to that. You're literally getting ready to kill federal employees. Less enforcement was being done to that. Y'all gotta explain how that makes any sense, in the words of Ricky Ricardo, you got some explaining to do. You got some explaining to do. So get it together, y'all. Y'all got to get it together. I'm sick of having this discussion on the show. I do not want to keep doing crickets of the week every time a goddamn police officer loses a fucking mind. Sick of hashtags. Sick of it. That's why I don't get into all that speed. People, why are you driving? Man, come on, man, speed me. You can speed. I'm so careful on the road because I don't want to drive. I don't want to do anything to be have a chance to be a goddamn hashtag. So I'm like, it hurts to say, but that's just the reality we live in. And every year we gotta keep restating that over and over again. Hey, I gotta keep myself safe. Sick of talking about it. Sick of it. Let's stop making people hashtags. Let's start making some goddamn action happen. The people who are in these positions to make that happen, fix it. That's my crickets of the week. All right. That being said, we're going to go ahead and go into our next beautiful segment, which is done by my girl, Nate Seduction. We got Seduction 101. Nate, what you got for Seduction 101 today?
Well, you kind of started it off with the whole Devin, whatever, Chauvin, whatever the fuck that nigga. Not Devin Chauvin, but the dude.
Derek Chauvin.
The dude that was trying to tell women about their self-worth but cheated on his wife. I don't like that. because you was really out here clowning women, telling women they don't love themselves if they stay with a man that cheated on them. But you cheat on your wife, and everything is, like, all good, and she's saying, like, does that apply to your wife? You know, does the same thing apply to your wife that you cheated and she's you? Does she not love herself? Like, you know, make it make sense. Because to me, it really sounded like you was just being a fraud. Like, straight up.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Like, that's ghetto. Like, you is a whole clown. You've been telling women for years about the type of men that you turn out to be. But your wife is strong and all this and that because she stayed with you and you cheated, but the rest of them women didn't love themselves. Like, I don't like that. Like, to me, you sound real fraud. You sound like a whole clown. Like, you putting yourself on a high pedestal. That's what I don't like. It's not that the fact that he cheated. That's not the problem, right? Because, you know, things happen, whatever the case may be. My whole thing is you put yourself on this very, very high pedestal. Like, you're a saint. But you cheated. That's my whole thing. Like, telling men about themselves, you telling men, you know, about leaving a girl, how, you know, they are and they not a man. And, like, to me, it's just, honestly, it just don't make sense to me. Like, you're a clown, you're a fraud. I feel like at this point, you need to give all the women a refund. Because it's a no for me. Did you see that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, my brother, yeah, I already know you're the guy who's always trying to make people feel like crap. And then, you know, he tries to make men feel like, oh, y'all, you know, like, he's the model citizen or whatever. And then all of a sudden that this happens.
Like,
yeah, my brother and sister were roasting the hell out of him. It was roasting the hell out of him.
He needs to be roasting. He needs to be roasting. Because he made himself seem like he don't cheat. Like, he's a good husband. He's a great provider. Yeah, Derek. That's his name, Derek.
What is it with it today? Like, is there something wrong with Derek? Is it a Derek shortage going on right now? I talk about Derek Chauvin and his nonsense.
Right.
And then here you go. You talk about another Derek. It's just horrible.
Yes. They got the same name. I have them mixed up. But one David Chan, well, John, whatever, I don't know how to say his last name, Dan Chauvin, of course, the one that's on trial for the George Floyd killing.
I mean, what is going on? It's like, is there a shortage right now? It just got, good Lord.
Right now, all the Derek's is trash at this point. If your name's Derek, I feel sorry for you, buddy.
Hey, shout out to my boy Derek Frederick, man. I hope you ain't being a scumbag, bro. That's one of Derek's. I just happen to be a Derek I know at the top of my head, I know personally. I was like, please don't be a scumbag out here, bro.
Like, to me, you're really trifling. You're really trifling at this point. You're trifling as hell. Now your woman, a good Christian, because she's staying with you, but the other women with them dummies and they needed therapy and they didn't love themselves and they had daddy issues and it's like, what, bruh? He deserves to get some crickets. Okay, he should have been on the cricket list too.
give us some honorary crickets.
I'm just saying he should have been on that damn cricket list.
So I got a question. Before this actually released, what was your thoughts on him? I know you're a free thinker, so it's always interesting to hear.
I still thought he was a fraud anyway. I never was fond of him anyway. Like, I could care less for him.
None of the women that I rock with close to my circle gave an F about him to begin with. That's funny. My sister didn't give an F about him. Sister-in-law, it's just hilarious.
You just proved my point at this point.
That he was too good to be true?
Too good to be true. You're a clown.
But here's the basic man, because I don't cheat. I don't do the cheating thing. Like, when I'm in a relationship, I be in a relationship. That's why I have all my fun as a single person. Sometimes I have a joke where I say I'm the most faithful single person there is. That's a joke I say because basically, you know, I still don't wild out like people think I can wild out because I'm single. It's just, I don't know.
Because a woman decides to stay with a man after he cheats does not mean she don't love herself. Now, if she stayed with him after he done cheated 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times, this is just a dummy. But if she stayed with her man after he cheated one time, okay, let's fix it, let's go to therapy, let's move past it. But if he do it after that first time, and you say, it, at that point, I probably feel like you don't love yourself. But just because a person stayed with somebody after they cheat one time does not mean they don't love themselves.
Yeah, it's just out of control. I'm so sick of having this crap.
Me and my best friend had this conversation. Like, what would you do if your man cheated on you? Well, I already know what you. Like, it's either I'm going to stay with you. That's one option. I'm going to stay with you and get my lick back. Or I'm going to leave you. Like, serious. It's just two options. I'm going to stay in the relationship and get my lick back. I'm not saying I'm going to cheat back, but I'm going to make you feel that pressure. I'm going to get my lick back, whether it's me cheating back on you or in another form. I'm going to get my lick back. Or I'm going to stay with you and, you know, or I'm going to leave you, period. It's no in-between. It's those only two options.
Get your lick back. I'm dead at the terminology of get your lick back.
Period. I'm going to get my lick back. You gonna feel that pressure. You gonna feel how you made me feel. I'm getting my leg back.
Good Lord.
Because men can't. One thing about men and one thing about y'all, yes, I'm coming down your lane. Then yes.
Oh, my God. I hate it.
One thing about you hate this, too, it'd be funny. But one thing about men, like, y'all can't handle that same pain that y'all put on a woman. Y'all can't handle that same pain. Y'all can't handle it. Y'all can't handle that same hurt.
Oh, my God.
Let's say, for instance, let's just say a man cheat on his wife and get a girl pregnant, and the wife stays. She will be praised for that. Like, she'll be considered a strong woman. But let's just say a woman cheat on her husband and get pregnant. He gonna leave her and dog the fuck. She gonna be all kind of hoes. You hoe ass bitch, you ain't sick. I'm just stating that.
I'm not gonna play with you today. I'm not gonna play with you today.
You know it's all sex. Am I right or am I right?
I'm not from this. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Damn, I ain't shit.
I am shit, Nate. That's why you love me, because I am shit. I am the
sir.
Shit.
Sir, you ain't even trying to confirm or deny.
Because my thing is this, yeah. I mean, I can say that, yes, a lot of these dudes can't take. Yeah, I would say the dudes that are scumbags can't take what they dish up. But I'm not a scumbag, so
exactly.
There we go.
You said what?
I said, but I'm not a scumbag, so I don't necessarily have to feel a certain way about it. I just don't want to. No, I'm not a scumbag. Especially like I was just telling people this the other day, I was saying how when I'm in a relationship, I like how I focus like in a relationship. I'd be so into that person.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I hate wasting energy. Too much diverted energy just.
Wasting energy and wasting time.
Yeah. So yeah,
like,
I don't get
pointless.
It. The hell be wrong with some of y'all? Women, that go for women and men. How y'all be having all that energy, dude? Oof. It's too much work.
Too much motherfucking work.
So, yes.
Way too much work.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to try it out. It's just been one of those things where I just still don't get how some of people's minds think.
You don't play with people's minds. You don't play with people's minds.
I actually hit mute myself. And I was just talking to our guest to be on in the moment. I said again, I don't believe in wasting energy. I focus on that person, and if I don't want to focus on that person, then just be single. I don't get people. You want to have fun, then have fun. Why are you always
right.
Unless y'all got to understand them, y'all got an open relationship, whatever that, you know, that's cool. Have an open.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all both agree to that. I hate when it be like one sided.
Right.
Nonetheless, yeah.
Moral of the story, just don't cheat.
Yeah, it's too much. It's extra energy. Because then you got to keep up with, it's one thing about being a liar and having to keep up a lie, but having to keep up a lie tied to cheat, it's just, whoa, man, too much. You got too many feelings entangled. A lot of y'all think y'all slick because y'all think y'all got out the hookers of Jada Pinkett with these entanglements. What y'all need to do is go get detangle your hair. That's what you need to be doing. Quit trying to entangle every goddamn thing. It's just ridiculous,
exactly.
Man. Alright, so bonus topic while waiting, I guess. I hate myself for doing this. I don't know why they do this on our show we did on the 29th of celebrating yet another year of Life That Does Live. How in the hell did I not do that?
Yes.
But I think I got taken for granted and just like, well, just like, it's just going through the motions of doing it every year. But I should be thankful every year. So the same way I get on people about not thinking their birthdays are important. I'm like, no, every birthday is important because it's another year you're I feel this way. It's another year that you're living, and some people didn't get to see that year. So celebrate it to the fullest. So, yeah, I can't stress that. I can't. Whoa. What's going on myself? What's going on with myself? Oh, my God. Things are crazy. Okay. Yeah, too many things going on. Whoa. What is going on? Stop. Yeah, so I just really getting to a point of like every year, like I need to just get better because I don't know what made me take it for granted this year. Every year I've celebrated, so it should be nothing different. But I would say that I take this time out. I want to say I'm thankful for you, Dane, because without you, man, I mean, I like doing the shows alone. I know how to do a show alone. Don't get me wrong. Yes, hell, I've done many shows alone. Hell, right before Nate was here. But like doing them by myself now, I couldn't see myself doing them by myself because I'm so used to having it. You know, we're like Batman and Robin, you know, Lois and Clark. We go to Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. List goes on. So I'm thankful for you, Nate. Every year that I'll celebrate you. You know, it's now, let's see, we started the show in 2000. Why am I going to brain for now? How many years ago? Oh, my God. It's been that long now. 2009. So let's see, 2019. So 12 years. We've been doing the show for 12 years now. So, oh my God. It's just definitely, it's a blessing to be able to do because a lot of people say, get in the radio, you should get in the radio. And I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it the way everybody else is doing it. I wanted to do it my way. And to be able to, and I was, you know, be able to be ahead of the trend. A podcast is beautiful because a lot of people start to do podcasts now, and I'm like, we've been here. Where y'all been at? We've been on that way, baby. I mean, people used to look at me, some of the same people used to look at me crazy. A podcast? So, yeah, it is what it is. But nonetheless, guess what? We got our special guest in the building. I want to welcome to the show. Very, very talented brother all the way over in the DMV, the Maryland part of the DMV to be specific. Welcome to the show, my boy, Finesse, a.k.a. Follow Finesse. What's up, boss?
What's up? Nice conversation.
Man, glad to have you, man. You know, I wanted to do a photography showcase series. Because a lot of times, you know, people love when me and they just be running our mouths, but one thing people also love is how we interview people, and we interview so relaxed, but we also bring guests, and it's very informative. So it's great to just have you here, man. Definitely, again, congratulations to you, man, for a successful photographer showcase with Human Cameras Magazine.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Most definitely. All right, so for the people who don't know, man, I want to jump into the time machine. When did you get started in photography?
It's crazy because I picked up a camera about 4 years ago. Four years ago, I picked up a camera and I tried to go around taking a couple photos, and I heard all of the critics say, if you're not shooting it manually, then you're not shooting at all. You're not a professional. So I kind of put it down because it was hard to figure it out in manual. But 2 years later, I started dating a beautiful young lady. She was a model. I had all this equipment sitting around my house.
Aww.
And was like, was like, yo, what are you doing with this? And that's when I looked at it again and realized it's a gold mine out there. It's a lot of opportunities. And she going to give me the opportunity to get her in front of my camera. So I had to go ahead and jump back to it. So I dedicated myself, my time to researching and figuring out how to use that camera in manual. And 2 years ago, last month, will be the official start date of Photo Finesse Photography.
That's what's up, boss. Y'all enjoyed it. I know we want y'all to clap too, but nonetheless, man, like I that's why one thing I like is, because that's what I did too. I had someone tell me that, though, I always thought it to you, it don't get so comfortable shooting automatic shooting manual. So I forced myself from day one when I really started getting photography, learning manual, no matter how hard it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. I already know how you feel. Trust me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, still learning every day, man. It's never ending.
So, I mean, you already kind of technically answered this question by, when you first started. But what would you say is probably the toughest thing you've had to deal with with photography now?
You know, what's crazy is it isn't the camera settings that was my biggest trial trying to figure out. It was the critics, the skeptics, the stereotype that you kind of get put into with photography, man. People have had so many bad experiences with photographers. So, trying to get new faces, trying to get new opportunities to work with different people is one of the toughest things out here because, every time you turn around, somebody had the worst experience of their life with a photographer. So that's one of the things that I pride myself on and my team on is trying to create a positive experience with, every single client that walks in, whether it's TSP, whether it's a book session, no matter what it is, just trying to make sure we leave an everlasting impression. So that's probably one of the biggest things for me.
That's up. What would you say? Look, it's kind of going, I'm going to piggyback off that a little bit more. As far as, with how you say, you had to deal with some of the stereotypes, and I want to go into critics thing more because that's something that I deal with a lot too, I'm more safe to say the critics of dealing with people thinking that, hey, I can go to another photographer, I can go to this person, or they make it seem like, what we do, we just press a button, that's it. Like, how do you deal with that? Like, people just, and then kind of, especially with when we post our work on social media, people don't understand. People don't understand what we have to go through. It's kind of like what is in the words of Erykah Badu, I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. So yeah, so like, how do you deal with it?
Honestly, the biggest thing is my son's mom, being in the model industry for quite some time, was probably one of my biggest critics and still is to this day. She is very well-crafted and, takes pride in her appearance, when she steps in front of a camera. So there's a lot of people that say, I can get this done cheaper, I can go this place and go that place. But where I come from and where I am now and all of the knowledge that I've obtained, the quality of work that I produce now from back then, me personally, I tell them go right ahead. I understand, my rates don't work for you. That's perfectly fine. But my quality speaks for itself. So 9 times out of 10, they're going to find their way back in my studio or in their studio for the first time. So I just keep pressing, keep pushing, man.
Right. So one of the things I deal with is it seems like, to a degree, has calmed down some because once people realize that they can't, it's not going to work, it starts to die down. I've dealt with, other photographers, they see somebody you shot, and instead of just letting their work speak for themselves, say, hey, I want to work with you, they feel like they have to downplay you in order to book models. And that's one of the things I hate so much is that part. Like, what the hell? Like, bruh. And then you got models. Sometimes I call these models double agents. Sometimes they have double agents that come to you. They say all this stuff. so they can get you to be messy and go back and report that to them. And when you don't have that, it starts creating confusion, and they keep trying to send these double agents, and it doesn't. To me, it used to bother me, but now it's like it's just part of the territory now.
But see, that's the thing that I've grown to understand and respect. It's a part of the game. So what I do in situations like that, if I feel a vibe, if I feel any type of negativity in a situation that I feel like, you know, isn't here to better me, I get them the best experience either way. I get them all of me. You feel me?
Exactly.
Every single time I snap my camera, I make sure that they get the best opportunity, the best experience possible. So when they go back to whoever sent them to get information, to try to talk this, talk that, they ain't got nothing but positive stuff to say.
Oh, my God. Exactly. And so, yeah, I mean, and I would say this, like, this is why I don't, like, I'm going to tell if a photographer is doing something that I think they need better to do, I don't act messy. I approach that person directly, and I address it. I think that's the way business people handle business. You give constructive criticism, and you don't run around being messy. Are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that I realize as well being in this is, you know, no matter what, you can have the evidence right in front of you. It could be a screenshot, a DM, whatever. The ones that are out here doing it, the ones that's messy, the ones that's negative, the ones that's causing all the problems, they're never going to admit to it. Never. So I don't even waste my time. I don't even allow them the energy from me to approach them on a situation. I just know how I got to move around them. You know, hey, that's your lane. This one's mine. At the end of the day, your client's going to end up in my studio because of the way that you operate, because of the way that you act, the way that you carry yourself. So, again, I pride myself heavily on that. You know, my customer, my clientele, you know, they make me in a sense. So if I'm not leaving an everlasting impression, I'm not doing my job. It's not just about the photos. It's not just about snapping the camera. I want to make sure that every time you leave my studio, you passing that word to somebody to say that I had a great experience with Finesse.
It's like what you did was you confirmed something that I thought was cheesy when I first put this up. Like my tagline that I used when I first put up my photography stuff, and I still go by it to this day. I just don't necessarily say it, just let it be inferred, was putting the customer service back in photography. Because I noticed that's always the biggest problem. It's like when they shoot way better than me, but I always feel like they can be better because that's what kind of led me to get into it because I got tired of the stuff I was dealing with was the customer service of just simple stuff. Communication. I don't care what lane you're doing, photography, acting, making burgers, communication is everything.
It's funny that you say that, man. One of the things that drove me to go harder behind my photography is when I first started and I branched out and I had the opportunity to shoot, you know, some amazing women, some amazing models that have been doing this for a while. One of the young ladies that I had the opportunity to shoot with, she had posted the content, and then she had let me know that one of the photographers that she worked with in the past started, you know, subliminally posting and, you know, saying this and that about, you know, if you're working with somebody who's new or somebody who isn't on my level, don't ever step foot in my studio again. Don't ever step foot in front of my – it was just a whole bunch of craziness. But that right there and it wasn't like it was secretly done. The person went right behind it and started posting photos that he had, you know, in captivity of hers. You know, I'm assuming she didn't work with him anymore, you know, for personal reasons. But that's besides the point. The thing is, when you start doing stuff like that and you're dealing with somebody like me who has the lion heart that I have, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. That only drove me to go harder. So now you got to see my name. You got to see my face. You got to see my work being posted all over the DMV, all over.
Yeah, because your work speaks for itself. I mean, I don't even have to, you know, we do these interviews because when I do these interviews with photographers, it's because I feel like it humanizes. It makes us more than just our cameras. Whenever I have photographers over here, I feel like it puts a voice with it. The same reason why my co-host is a model, why I have her, because it makes it to where people just see, it's not just, hey, it's the girl I've seen the pictures. They kind of get to get into her mind and see that it actually helps her more and her products of being able to spread it out there more. So, yeah, I definitely, that's why I like doing this. But before I can, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw it over to her and let her ask you a few questions.
Okay, let's do it.
Hello, hello. How you doing? I'm Nate Seduction, the
other half
of Life After Dusk.
Sorry about that. I'm back.
How you doing this evening?
I am absolutely great. Absolutely great. A beautiful day. Just finished up a beautiful session. I'm great. How are you?
That's great. I'm blessed. Can't complain. You know, another day, another dollar. You know the saying.
I hear that.
So I'm going to dig a little deep into your business because that's what I do on this show. Shut up.
I sat back and I was like, whoop, cut the light off. Blah,
blah, blah. So I understand that you have been a photographer for the past 4 years. My question to you would be, what were some of the challenging moments you had as getting into the industry and being a photographer?
All right, so first I'm going to correct it a little bit. I've been shooting professionally for 2 years. I've had equipment for 4 years just sitting in my house. But, again, one of my biggest challenges was literally learning the camera and just appreciating, you know, everything that it has to offer. I think that my equipment was one of the biggest issues when I first started, and it made it really hard for me. Some of the stuff that I wanted to create, some of the stuff that I had in my head or I've seen with my eyes, trying to figure out how to do it, it seemed almost impossible. But, of course, that was me just picking up a camera and throwing it in automatic and thinking that I'm going to create an image, and that wasn't happening. So actually taking the time to research and learn the craft and understand the camera helped me out big time.
Okay. That's what's up. What kind of issues have you ever had any issues with models, or is them trying to sleep with you, or are you trying to sleep with them, like mixing business with pleasure? Have it ever been any complications with that?
For myself, I haven't had that issue as of yet. I wouldn't necessarily call it an issue because I kind of handle it in its moment. I operate on a highly professional playing field, and I make sure that my work is completely separate from any personal antics at all. I mean, of course, as probably any photographer, you deliver great work, there's going to be people out here, ladies out here that are going to, you know, throw an opportunity to you in order to get some extra work or whatever the case is. It happens, but for the sake of my brand and the fact that I've seen and I've heard so many photographers get blasted live, screenshots, passing secret pages and groups and all this different stuff, and that's not what I want for my business. I want to flourish based on genuineness, so I pride myself in staying away from that.
Okay, that's what's up. That's very professional and, you know, mature of you, because a lot of photographers, you know, they probably be going, you know, shit. Some bitches be looking good. Shit, I know I be looking good. I know some photographers try.
I would never try a model on my set. Never, never. And personally, I feel like it's the creepiest thing to go throwing comments and, you know, sneaky antics and stuff like that, trying to try your hand after a session. I think it's extremely tacky. I'm the type of person, I'm going to sit back, and if it's meant, it'll come to me. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to do that. I won't ever do that.
Okay, that's what's up. So, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years when it comes to photography?
So, right now I have a pretty decent sized studio space in Oxon Hill, Maryland. My brother, who's also a very accomplished photographer, we're looking at joining forces and essentially creating a warehouse photography space where we can build and get super creative with. I know it's a lot of it popping up. Everybody's doing their own studios and stuff like that, but I feel like with us having two separate spaces, it's only the next opportunity for that. I want to be to a point, I'll say within the next 1 to 2 years, having a larger space that I can work in and get very creative with my work. In the next 3 to 5 years, to be able to have a workforce behind me, whereas I don't necessarily have to shoot all the time. I have a solid team. I teach, instruct, and we, you know, we're all on the same page. We have equal quality work, and if I get a booking and I'm unable to do it, I can pass it to one of my team members and feel comfortable that they're able to provide them with the same level of service that I provide them with. So that's the goal.
Yeah, who's your let me jump in a question, a sidebar question. Who is your brother you're talking about, by the way?
Sorry about that. This is Damian Brown, Littlefoot.
My boy Damian. Okay. That's one of the long time. He's been one of the people that's been around the magazine, not quite since it began, but long enough. Been around for a pretty long time, the magazine.
Yeah, he's pretty solid, man. He's given me some of the basic knowledge that I learned stepping into the photography realm and helping me understand my camera. And actually, you know what? I'm trying to remember the camera that I started with. I started with a T3i. Picked that little thing up and, you know, started playing around with it and figured I'd, you know, try to venture into photography. And Lord, it was probably the worst experience trying to figure out because the camera was so outdated. He actually lended me my first, I guess, decent camera that I can actually create and get a little, you know, adjusted to, and that was the 70D Canon. So he let me use that a little while. I got used to it and figured it out, and from there I just took off. All of the money that I made shooting, I upgraded my equipment. I ended up buying a full-frame Mark II 5D. Then I went into the 5D SR, and now I'm using the R5. So I've made some elevation. I put some money behind it, and I feel like the quality speaks for itself.
Yeah, that's you know what? That for people to understand why we because, like, for instance, the one thing I did this year was I started evaluating. I said, you know what? It's time for me to raise my price. And the people who are going to rock with you are going to rock with you. The people who ain't going to rock with you. Because I realized, honestly, I ain't going to lie. I was afraid to raise my price because I didn't want to, he's too high. I didn't want to be on it, but then I started realizing in order for people to respect my work even more, you have to raise your price, one. Two, in order for you to be able to, like you say, invest into your projects more, you got to raise your price so you can be able to buy the stuff that you need to do to provide the best service.
Man, you are preaching right now because I promise you, my son's mom, that's Model Maya K, FYI. But when I say that the work I was producing as I started to grow and progress and deliver quality, man, when I tell you this woman was in my ear going off, why are you doing $50 photo shoot? Why are you doing $100 photo shoot? You need to up your price. You need to up your price. Nobody's going to respect you if you out here doing promos every weekend, this and that. And I'm like, all right, I'm listening. And eventually, I started taking what she was saying to mine and I actually started doing it. And I started realizing that people actually respect the work and they wanted to pay for it. The price didn't mean anything. When I booked my first shoot that I made $1,000 shooting, it was just like, okay, somebody believes in me. I need to start believing in myself. So now I'm at the point where I'm not lowering my price. I'm not changing my price. I'm not adjusting anything. You know, it is what it is. You're either going to book it or you aren't.
Exactly. Because, Nate, what do you always tell me? Nate, what do you – Nate will tell you what she – because Nate will come on the show and she'll be telling us about some of the shoots she did and she run her prices, how much she spent on a shoot. Like, Nate, just give, like, an example of what you did. Because I'll be wanting – because that's, like, prove the point of what we be talking about on the show all the time to back up what we're talking about now. Like,
my whole thing is – y'all don't go to Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Michael Kors, or Walmart, or none of that, ask for a discount. So please don't come in my inbox, in my DM, asking me to be in your music video for a motherfucking discount, baby. This is just not that. Like, not with me.
That part. You know what that famous line is? You know what the famous line is? Here you go. How much would you charge me? I hate it. I hate it. I just reposted it today. How much would you charge me? The price?
I saw that meme. I saw you said the price. I saw that on the earlier. I was laughing. I'm going to say this. And do you go crazy when people act like you being bougie because you ask for a deposit?
Right.
I just laugh. Like, why are you so offended by me asking for a deposit? Well, you know me. See, I was going to pay you all the cash the same day. Nope. I didn't deposit.
Nope.
And I'm going to tell people, when I started being more and more strict about deposits, I got way more respect, too, because when you make people pay that deposit, 9 times out of 10, they don't care if their house is on fire. They're going to show up with that shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about it, my deposit is not refundable. So
that part. You can move it to another service date, but it will not be refundable. Unless I mess up on my part. If I do anything on my part, that's on you.
Exactly.
Yep. Hey, I had to eliminate that personal booking stuff, man. Send it to my Cash App. Oh, send this. Nah, no more of that. I'll pay the fee for the site to take the funds, but I know that when they go in that site and they see it in bold writing, deposit is non-refundable. It ain't nothing I can do about it at that point. You don't show up, you beyond the 30-minute grace period that I give, you decide you want to go somewhere else, do something else. I'm sorry. I can't do nothing for you. Done for you.
Period.
Respect my
because
time.
Because I've gotten screwed too many times where I like, okay, the person, I'll wait for the person to pay me on the day of, all of on the day of, and then you wait around. It's like listening to crickets because I'm going to do a courtesy call or message the day before, double check everything's still going on, Then I'm going to hit you up the day of, and then I'm going to hit you in an hour before the shoot. Just because I'm just kind of like just making anything can happen. Like that person, I could have just talked to him earlier, and I like to basically, the reason why I do whether they pay deposits or not, I like to make sure that If I can work in there and shoot, I don't want to be wasting time just sitting around. I can have another project going. So I'm going to double,
yep.
I'm going to cross my T's, dot my I's. But all right, bam, cool. All right, I don't, but again, I've done that with people who don't pay deposits. And guess what? They leave you out there to dry because now they don't show up. And then you try to be even nicer of just saying, okay, wait for them to hit me up. And then it's too late. And then here they go. And my favorite, Vanessa, I know you deal with this. My favorite one is, oh, sorry, okay. Or another one is, okay, you want to work with me? And then you go, and then, see, I'm a person, I keep the receipts, a.k.a. DMs. This is why. Here's my missed call off. This is what happened. This is why I don't work with you.
Yeah. And see, with that, I started limiting TFPs for that reason specifically.
Yeah,
if you're not a high-quality model that I know takes your craft serious, you're going to be here on time. You respect my time. You want me to respect yours. I'm not dealing with it, man. I done had too many situations where people just full of shit. They hit you up with the, everything is good. Next thing you know, the day come up for the shoot. Oh, can we push back an hour? I got so-and-so going on. Okay, all right. Hey, I'm running a little late. Oh, hey, I forgot I had this going on. All right, so now you're just wasting my whole day now. You're wasting my whole day, and then you're going to go turn up and shake your ass somewhere. I ain't got time for that, man. I don't have time for that. If it ain't on the website, if it ain't booked, if it ain't money in my Cash App deposited ahead of time, I don't want it. I'm good on it. Okay.
And I got a policy now because I get so tired of foolishness. If you don't pay me a deposit 2 weeks, before the shoot date, we just theoretically speaking, we're not even, it's not happening. It's not just because you know me. No, if you ain't paying your deposit for 2 weeks, when it's less than 2 weeks, that means you got to pay in full to book to make me want to do within 2 weeks. Because I don't want to be wasting time. And hell, as y'all see, I'm traveling to New York on the 23rd. This is the kind of reason why I don't have time to play, because spring and summer, I don't sit still. So people have to understand it. I don't sit still, so every moment is important. It means you got to be serious about your booking time, all that. But I want to ask you about this, because I deal with this all the time. When it comes to edits, your thoughts on edits, and I'll be more specific on that question. Edits and girls posting the unedited photos, because they just, I don't know what kind of shit they are. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Me personally, they gotta pay for Ross. I'm sorry. You got to pay for them. I charge an additional fee to remove my watermark. I don't care what the shoot is. I charge an additional fee to remove my watermark. At that point, you can post whatever the hell you want. If you post some RAWs, don't tag me in it. I'm sorry. That's my policy. Don't tag me in the RAWs. When I edit the photo and I give you a final product, that's what you can post, and that's what you can tag me in. But if you're paying for your RAWs, I'm good on it. I don't care. Just don't tag me. Don't relate it anyway to me. I mean, the RAWs are good quality, but that's not a final image. That's not something I want representing my business.
I'm hearing myself talking. I love it. Just keep going.
Oh, you good? Yeah. But that's how I feel about it. That's my thing, man. It's not a proper representation of my work and the quality that I produce. So I don't want to be tagged in that. I won't want to be mentioned in it or nothing of that sort. If you purchase your RAWs, that's on you. I don't care if you had somebody else edit it. That's not my work at that point. So don't tag me in it. I'm sorry. That's me.
And just because Instagram has a filter does not mean that you edited it. So,
man. Or the worst is when you send them an edit and they still throw an Instagram filter on it.
Oh man, I cringe.
That breaks my brain.
And then all of a sudden, because they're edit, they're orange all of a sudden. I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing here?
I don't understand why you taking quality photos if you just gonna throw a filter over top of it. You set your ass in your bathroom for that.
Oh, the worst part is people, they bug me, we ain't going to give an edit, we ain't going to give an edit. Send them edits, it takes them centuries to post them. What, you did all that for what reason? You didn't send them anywhere, you didn't post, what are we doing? Like, why are we rushing? And there's a recipe. There is a recipe for that. For that reason, I have been creating a recipe.
Absolutely.
And don't be... And another thing, y'all didn't quit trying to just think, y'all think just because y'all show up and y'all shoot a certain amount of pictures, we're editing every picture. Get the hell out of here. Say, no photographers doing that.
It's crazy.
I laugh. Oh, but my other photographer, he edited all my pictures. Does he really edit them? Or does he just press an auto thing and then send them over to you? Get out of here. That's just... I don't got time to be editing a million pictures. I just told a client that the other day. She sent me a million things. I'm like, okay, so, all right, that's good on these choices. Okay, now narrow down to the three that your package came with. They're like, but I got so many. I'm like, no. Hey, if you want extra edits, pay for extra. Shout out to people that pay for extra edits. I appreciate you. People who don't, stop asking, because that's time. And especially if you're asking me to do a million things like remove double chins and all that, you just ask me to recreate you. It's going to take some time. I know. There's no cap. I had somebody ask me to remove their double chin, and then she was trying to ask me to remove the wrinkles in her shirt. But why didn't you show up your shirt? First of all, her shirt was a wrinkle. It had that little... You know, like when the iron, like when it's a nicely pressed shirt and it got a little, and of course you moving around, it's going to crump or cripple at certain spots. I don't got time. You want me to fix your shirt too? And you want me to
and
do
then
a
every
shot
at that.
Oh my God, you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, yeah, so, man. It's crazy the shit we deal with.
Yeah, so, crazy. All right, so I got one more question for you. I'm going to throw it at Nathan one more question. My question for you is, what inspires you to do the Satin series? Because, you know, a lot of people, they inbox me, oh, my God, oh, my God. Even other photographers, they love it. What inspired you to do that series?
So, for me, I had saw something on Instagram. It was a photo, and I believe they used about 2 or 3 raps in it. And it just hit me because I get a lot of people that ask to do shoots but don't have any idea what to wear, what to come with, what to do, any of that. So I thought that it'd be dope to actually take a couple photos with the satin wraps, number one, to order a bunch of them in different colors. But I started with just taking a couple of photos for advertising purposes for my website to put up there for primarily maternity shoots. I get a lot of implied requests for maternity shoots, and I'm like, well, why not add a little color in it? You know, let's make something dope out of it. What are your colors for your gender reveal or for your baby shower? Let's do that, because 9 out of 10 they're gonna use the photos for that. So I figured out I order them in a whole bunch of different colors. And when Damien called me about the whole the human canvas idea, I had so many people already write it asking, can they shoot it? Because I had sent out a public request asking for, you know, different models who'd be interested in shooting the concept. So many people hit me about it that I actually ended up charging for the shoot, you know, just something for them to do. And then when Damien hit me about the idea of the human canvas, I'm like, shit, well, I done shot about 6 or 7 of them. Let me go ahead and do the whole series for it and send it to you for the book. And that's pretty much where it came from. I mean, it was a dope concept to me, and the first few models that I had actually chosen to do it, they came to kill. They did not play.
Yes.
It got me excited. So I was like, oh, hell no, nah. this got to go in the bag. This got to go in it.
Yeah, because I was tripping out. I mean, that entire – I was like, well, this blew my mind. Like you said, the issue, every model, and I mean, y'all, he had 16 models featured, which is – the most amount of models have ever been featured in an issue in Human Canvas, by the way. Yeah, 16 models, and every last one of them had a different color satin wrap on. That blew my damn mind. I was like, I really, because y'all don't think I really look at these pictures. I'm looking through, and I'm like, he really got a different color for each person. What in the hell is going on?
The crazy thing is I had 5 more colors that were just sitting to the side. 3
wow.
of them were with my favorite models that I work with a lot, but their time and my time are just a lot of personal stuff going on. We never got the chance to shoot it. So my favorites, I'm super mad about. I couldn't even get in there, but I still have their wraps ready.
I mean, it's a dope issue. Like, it really is, and you can tell the heart. And that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, you kind of reveal, because originally, so behind the scenes, Dave was going to shoot the issue. But I know he had to go do a bunch of other stuff at that time, including go out, you know, like
yeah,
the country.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but Dave would send me, and I was like, okay, you sent me another photographer. All right, here we go. What's this about? Because I'm like, wait, it's about you, David. Okay, I know how your work is. You're sending me somebody, and I don't know how their work is. And we're trying to show off that person. And I was like, and I saw the work, and I was like, okay, good to go. I was just so happy. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Work was
what's
on
so
point.
Funny about it, though, is when he reached out to me about it, first thing you say, bruh, you got any extra photos laying around that you haven't published yet, that you haven't used? And I'm like, yeah, I got a few things here, Nate. He said, you got a lot? I was like, I can make a lot. It's no problem. I can make a lot. I said, what you need? Get to it. And that's when he broke down the human canvas and everything. I'm like, all right, I got you. I can make something happen.
That was just crazy because I was like, yeah, and then I saw the work, and I was like, Okay, so she. There was a wait. This is a whole series. What in the hell? I was, it tripped me up. But yeah. I would say too, man. Before I throw it to Nate, what I loved about the series, what I loved about this issue too, was it wasn't just the fact of just the work itself. It was the models. I'm telling y'all. The thing that made them that is making that issue work is the fact of nobody's ego was too big. You didn't have to be the cover model to feel like you were still popping. Everybody's because I get that sometimes that I always tell people you want the issue to really pop. Every person that's in that issue is important. Is an important key to that issue. If everybody don't promote it, it's not going to go the way it's supposed to. Because the point of it is. Everybody promotes it. Everybody shares. Everybody different fan bases come together, and they see this product that you can help support each other. For you to get damn near 16 models on the same page blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. A lot of them, it was their absolute first time doing a photo shoot.
Yeah,
about five of them.
The inboxes I've gotten, I mean, I've gotten so many, I really appreciate this opportunity. And, you know, I more so dwell on positive feedback than I do negative feedback. And so I pay attention because some people, they get so caught in their feelings on the negative and they don't give credence to the positive. And I was just so blown away by the message I was getting from the girls that were featured that, yeah, it's just... Again, man, it was a blessing, man. Definitely, man. Y'all just continue. Because I talk about the DMV all the time, that the DMV has been a huge part of the success of the magazine. Because you've had his support forever. And then when it came, I named with him, for Maryland, shoot, the whole DMV all together, shoot, we had that together to down with you. It was like, y'all have brought all these people just paying attention to what we got going on. And, you know, it's definitely great to see that area, that region's support. I speak about that all the time. I get on people's nerves. Oh, the DMV. And some people who are ignorant still, in 2021, they still think when I say the DMV, I'm talking about the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah.
But okay, so before I let you go, Nate, what's your last question for him, man?
My last question I ask every person on this show, and it's non-negotiable.
Oh God, I got to drink my water. Wow.
The question is, where is the craziest place you ever had sex?
All right, drink my water on that one.
All right, I got you.
I wasn't ready for that one, man. You kept on the wraps for so long. I didn't think it was still coming up. Oh, yeah.
So the craziest place would be in the staff bathroom on lunch break while working at CVS.
Oh, that was freaky.
Yeah. Didn't throw a curveball in there. It was my manager.
That's out. That's funny because if I was close to yours now, because the place is the same. It's just a little bit slightly different. Slightly different. One person's place is going to hell more.
God forgave me.
He forgave you already. He forgave you already. Yeah.
The fact that you thought of that question, you going been, right back.
Craziest place was church for me. The church bathroom.
Hell yeah. You going to hell.
He's in church bathroom. It was a bathroom, ironically, but it was in a church bathroom.
Hey, look, I ain't even mad at you, though. I ain't even mad at you. Church girl, I see where the question came from now.
I'm just, every time, I'm like, you're going to hell. What is going on?
God forgave me for that, okay? He's still been blessing me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Bless you, all right.
Shut up.
You know what? And I thought about this, and I don't know why I never brought this one up. Now that this is, since he brought it up, I'm gonna go back to time has gone by long or far enough for me to talk about this, and I don't work that place anymore. So now that I was at a certain company I used to work at, I was doing it in the back. I was doing it in the stock room, and it was after the store closed. Yes.
Oh, I know what you just
said. Yeah, we over by the boxes. We must be doing the inventory at the end of the night to refill the spots of the store. And yeah, that was, yeah.
Now, you know what you just reminded me? I'd have skipped a whole segment of my lifetime. I used to be a pool manager.
Oh, I know, man. Not the pool boy. You were the pool boy?
Yeah, I was a pool manager, so. We know where that goes.
Not that you came straight out of Banyan Bros. I can't think of the name right now, wherever the service is. You don't, not that you came straight out of one of them videos.
Man, I say that was probably the best 5 years of my life.
You need me to clean your drains.
That's been buried deep. You know, I've been a changed man since then. So
yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, okay, Nate, y'all something else. I think that's probably one of the best ones in a while. That question you asked. Wow.
Right.
I don't know which answer was better for him, the first or the second one.
I agree.
Nah, you know the answer she was hoping to hear?
Good.
As a photographer, she was hoping to hear the studio. That's what it was.
Yeah, she was, yeah.
You know, your best bullshit.
She was trying to go back to that question she asked earlier.
She tried to trick bag me. That's what it was.
No, that would have been basic to me. That would have been basic.
Well, excuse me. Basic. I'm done.
Ain't nobody else taught my church.
Yeah, you can have that one. I don't want them problems with the Lord.
If I was really on some renegade stuff, I would just go. I would date a chick and work at a call center, and go to the call center and get it in with her right there on the desk until a supervisor tells she got to leave. Oh my God. Y'all something else. Well, bro, I appreciate you for coming through. She's staying with us for a while and clowning and informing. And again, you got some very dope work, and shout out to Boy Foots, man, for putting me up on you. Because, I mean, I go to your – it's more than just a human camera thing. I go to your page every day. I'm like,
I respect
it. It'd be some dope stuff. And we look forward to having not just in this issue, man, definitely going forward, man. Anytime you got something that works for an issue we drop, man, just send some in, man. Should we definitely continue showcasing it?
Man, say less to that. I've been on a war zone, war path for the last few months. I told myself that this year, my goal was 100 publications before the year was out, and I kind of slowed down because I feel like I approached it too fast. I'm already at about 35 for the year, and we're only, 4 months in. So I figured I'd slow down a little bit and put the press on at the end of the year. I gave myself 40 publications within 3 months at the end of last year, and I managed to do it. So you're going to have a lot more coming my way, man. It's been a vibe. I love the opportunity. I appreciate y'all. It's all love.
Most definitely, man. And thank you for coming to the show. You know, the show is another extension of the brand and of the media brand altogether. And, you know, just definitely glad to just be able to showcase me, be able to talk to people like y'all, man. Shoot, everybody, you know, it's a lot of shows. They talk to celebrities. That's cool. I've done that. I've interviewed celebrities over here several times. But I like just talking to everyday business owners, man. That to me gets me going. Especially as people out there who are thinking about getting started and just to kind of hear a person they might look up to talking about it, it takes it on another level. So again, we appreciate you for coming through.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Remind everybody how they can follow you, or as we say in the show, stalk you. And we tell you what stalk, why we say stalk, because anyone just press the follow button. But stalkers, they follow your every move. So, again, how can people stalk you?
Respectful. I appreciate it. I need more stalkers in my life.
where are the pages that can find you at?
Oh, yeah. So, Instagram, Photo Finesse, that's FOTO, Finesse, FINESSE, 202, got to represent D.C., born and raised uptown. Website, www.photofinessephotography.com. Personal follows, that's King Finesse on Instagram. I show love to everybody. I follow back, you know. Check me out.
That's what's up, man. We appreciate you for coming through. Anybody that missed the show, y'all definitely can make sure y'all go to, we go to various places. If you go to dustspot.com/dustspotradio, I'll have all of the places you can go, which include TuneIn, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify. We are pretty much, if it's a major network, we're on there. I know. They're like, wait, I know he was popping like that. Yeah, we're popping. So yeah, so definitely follow us on any of those mediums, man. You'll be able to enjoy it. Again, everybody, we appreciate you for coming through the show. Listen to all our shows, people. Next week we have the other photographer from the Photography Showcase edition, and that's my boy Kareem Thompson, aka Agent K. So we'll be following through representing the NY edition. Oh, by the way, y'all, magazine release party, parachutes and all that good stuff going on in New York, April 23rd through 26th. April 23rd is when the actual release party will be going on, a mixer release party all together. So if you can, people, make sure you come check that out. I actually got, crazy enough, I got one of the girls from the DMV issue. So they're coming out to it. So that's going to be dope. And that was London Lee. So yeah, all right, y'all, we're rolling on now. Remind you, everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember where there's a J or where there's a
an A or a U, there is a way.
Y'all to the episode of Life at Dusk Live, your boy Sunny J and your girl.
Nay Seduction.
And Nay, what's the public service announcement we give everybody?
If you go home, please do it responsibly.
There you go. I'll be out, y'all. Peace.
Peace.